Amen. Well, good evening, everyone. We're going to begin here in just a moment. The book of James chapter 2. And we've been on a short series on Wednesday evenings about the subject of sin. We started with dealing with a general maybe observation of the world in which we live in a few weeks ago, dealing with the subject of postmodernism and its definition and what it looks like. Then we considered the three deaths of sin, you could say, the physical death that sin brought upon us, the spiritual death that sin has brought upon us, and unless a sinner repents and believes the gospel of Jesus Christ, they will eternally die and eternally be separated from God and eternally spend in eternal judgment in hell, because they will eternally die because of their sins. Last Wednesday night we discussed the subject of depravity, how that there isn't an area of your life that sin hasn't negatively affected. So there is we call it, of course, total depravity, that your total being has been corrupted by sin. Your mind, your body, your soul, your spirit. So the new birth is absolutely necessary. Tonight I'm going to try to answer a specific question about the subject of sin that comes up often. And then maybe next Wednesday night, I'm still seeking God's will about it. Maybe we'll try to answer or deal with the question, is there an unpardonable sin? An unpardonable sin. We'll deal with that. But tonight we're going to try to answer this question: are some sins worse than other sins? That seems to be a hot topic a lot. I get asked it a lot as a pastor. Are some sins worse than other sins? So tonight, if you're curious, I hope you are, we're going to try to biblically answer that question: are some sins worse than other sins? So it's a good question. It certainly is, and it's worthy of our attention. Thankfully, we'll find our answer in the Word of God. So, the book of James, chapter number 2, verse number 10. Are some sins worse than other sins? Verse number 10 of James 2, the Bible says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. So the first answer, and spoiler alert, the answer is yes and no. But first, let's deal with the no. Are some sins worse than other sins? No. Here in where we're going to begin this evening, James 2:10, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, is guilty of them all." You could think of, and I've illustrated this often throughout my ministry here, like the Ten Commandments. You say, "Well, I've never murdered anybody." Well, one must be careful there, because we've murdered a lot of people in our hearts. Remember what our Lord told us, that if we hate our brother, we've murdered him or her in our heart. They're as good as dead to us. So let's be careful. But you might say, "I've never physically murdered anyone, so I'm a good person." But have you ever dishonored your mother or your father? The answer is yes. So are you a good person? You might say, "I'm good compared to the murderer. I'm relatively good then. If I'm compared to him, in relationship to him, I'm relatively good compared to a murderer." I guess humanly speaking, you're correct. But are you guilty of them all? And I've always illustrated it like this. You could think of the Ten Commandments for our illustration as 10 links of a chain. And God's holding on one end of the link, holding one end of the chain, and you're holding on to the other end of the chain, and you're dangling over judgment. And your good works are connecting you to God. And God's got one end of the chain, and you're holding on to the other end of the chain, and you might boast about your righteousness and say, "I've never, ever, ever, ever murdered anybody." But you've dishonored your mother, your father. So the link breaks. That link, that commandment, you've not honored your mother, your father. So because that link broke, even though you've not broken the law that says thou shalt not murder or kill, you what? You perish. You think about you're hanging over judgment. All you need is one link to break. You've often heard this expression, the chain is only as strong as its weakest link. And so you might not have killed anybody, but you sure did bear false witness against your neighbor. So are some sins worse than other sins? Well, no, because all sins are terrible. They are. All sins are terrible in the eyes of God. And any sin separates you eternally from God. It does. It might not be what you'd say bad as a murderer, but any sin separates you eternally from God. So breaking any commandment, as our text is teaching us this, any commandment is rebellion against God, who is the lawgiver. You've rebelled against God. So I'll read the text again, and maybe there'll be some more light with it. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, just one sin, he is guilty of all. Now remember, a few weeks back, the postmodernist, he or she says this, well, I'm not as bad as Hitler, therefore I'm pretty good. And you need to realize the atrocity of any sin, any little white lie, any small transgression, because you are choosing that small transgression over God. Remember, I've told you often that the great sin of in the Garden of Eden is not so much that you even think, oh, all they did was eat the fruit and eat the fruit they shouldn't have. You think, well, that's not too bad compared to Hitler. But if you think about it this way, they chose fruit over God, then their sin becomes an atrocity now. Because it ain't like they chose $1 million over God. They chose fruit over God. And so now it becomes even more sinful. So they gave up a relationship with God, you could think of it, for a piece of fruit. And so then, is all sin wicked? Yes, it's exceedingly wicked. And so are some sins worse than other sins? No, because all sins separate you eternally from God. They do. Any sin you've committed. Remember, total depravity also teaches us from experience that we sin because we're sinners, and we sin because our nature is corrupt, and therefore we have the potential to commit any type of sin that exists in the universe. So our root is bad, and the fruit of that is sin. But any sin that you've committed has eternally separated you from God, but you committed it because you are born totally depraved and incapable of keeping the law of God. So you're born doomed apart from the saving grace of Jesus Christ through repentance and faith in His finished work. So in one sense, no, all sins separate you from God. All sins separate you eternally from God. So you must be born again, and the only hope that any of you or me have is a personal relationship with God through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He becomes our righteousness, He reconnects the chain, and no longer is it our righteousness that connects us to God, but it is the righteousness of God through the person of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are eternally secure because the relationship is kept by the righteousness found through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. But, however, there does seem to be some degrees of punishment for sins, even in hell. I want to read a parable to you. Luke chapter 12, verse 42 through 48. If you want to turn there, you can follow along. But so the short answer is, are some sins worse than other sins? No, no, in the sense that all sin, any sin, no matter what you would judge to be a good sin or bad sin, any sin eternally separates you from God. But there does seem to be some degrees of punishment for sins in hell. Luke 12, 42 through 48. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and the maidens, and to eat and to drink and be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did not commit those things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given of him shall be much required, and of whom he hath committed much, of him will ask the more. You've heard this put this way before, that since you've heard the gospel, now you're more accountable to what you heard. And since you've received the gospel in your ears, now if you reject the gospel of Jesus Christ, now since you have knowledge of the grace of God, if you reject Christ in this life, when you meet the Lord in judgment, you will be beaten with many stripes instead of the one who's not set in church service after church service and unknowingly or openly rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ into their life. So are some sins worse than others? No, in that all sins eternally separate you from God. But there does seem to be degrees of punishment in hell for any sin that is more atrocious based upon its merit. Another example is Luke chapter 10, verse number 13 through 15. And Jesus, he's talking to cities because some received him and some did not receive him. Now remember, any sin eternally separates you from God. So in that sense, there isn't one sin that's greater than another sin. But there absolutely seems to be degrees of punishment for sins that reach the merit or worth of that punishment. Luke chapter 10, verse 13 through 15, another example of degrees of punishment. Jesus says, "Woe unto you, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which have been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable in Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell." So Jesus did a bunch of works there. They rejected him. And Jesus said there's other cities who would have repented. But since you've seen much things and you've not turned from your wickedness, it will be worse for you in judgment than for Tyre and Sidon. So the answer is no. Some sins are worse than other sins in the sense that any sin eternally separates you from God in hell. So now let's deal with the second portion of the question. So, or the second answer. Are some sins worse than other sins? No. No in the sense that any sin separates you eternally from God. But are some sins worse than other sins? Yes. Some sins are worse than other sins. Look at John chapter number 19, verse number 10. The book of John chapter 19 and verse number 10. Jesus is standing here before Pilate. And Pilate is frustrated because Christ isn't pleading his case to be set free. So in John chapter number 19, verse number 10, the Bible says that Pilate said unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me, knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee?" So Pilate says, "I could let you go." But in verse number 11, Jesus answered, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivereth me unto thee hath the greater sin." So Jesus is saying, the person that gave me to you has sinned worse than you would be sinning by crucifying me. So, yes, some sins are worse than other sins, but they are not worse in the sense that some sins won't separate you from God eternally, but some will. Another example is Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. "These six things the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. The Lord hates a proud look. He hates a lying tongue. He hates hands that shed innocent blood. He hates a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. He hates feet that be swift in running to mischief. He hates a false witness." But you know what he thinks is an abomination? "He that soweth discord among the brethren." So the Lord hates six things, but he says the seventh one, "It is an abomination unto me." And I find that interesting, and this is very applicable to you and I. We often think, well, he said a dirty word, and that is an abomination. Or we think, that person worshipped a goat down the road. We say, well, that's an atrocity. And it would be. Amen. It sure would be. But the worst thing that God calls an abomination in the list of these seven sins is people that sow discord among the brethren. I mean, you know what wickedness really is? It is when church members sow discord about other church members. That is an abomination. God calls that an abomination. We think, well, I'm not a liar, but you sow discord among the brethren. God says that is worse than telling a lie. It's even worse than shedding innocent blood. Well, how could it be? This sin keeps people from being saved. This sin keeps you from inviting your family to your local church. This sin keeps you, this person, discouraged. They would have heard the gospel of Jesus in the Sunday night sermon, but they heard something they shouldn't have heard, and they're not coming back anymore. This sin has eternal implications. And God calls this sin, He calls it an abomination. So any one of these sins would eternally separate you from God, but God says this one right here, this is an abomination. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, Peter here is talking about false prophets. And he's talking about people that on purpose spread lies and they misrepresent God and deceive people. And this absolutely burns God up. This makes God so angry. Listen to what Peter says about false prophets in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 17. He said, "These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest. To whom," this is their judgment, "to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever." God says, I'm throwing them forever in the mist of darkness. Now, I'm not quite sure why that's worse than just meeting God in judgment. But the emphasis here is obvious, that God is so angry over their false prophecy that He's reserved. They have a reservation. Like when they get to hell, you're going to go over here. You go over here, but you are going to be right over there. And it's going to be, you're going to be beaten with many stripes for what you've done. And so they are reserved in the midst of darkness forever. So are some sins worse than any other sins? Well, the first answer is no, because in the sense that any sin eternally separates you from God. But are some sins worse than other sins? Absolutely they are, because some sins are going to be beaten with many stripes and some are going to be beaten with a few stripes. And some the Lord calls an abomination. Like it's an abomination for mankind to lie with mankind as He does with womankind. That's God calls that an abomination. God is angry over that. And you'll notice even historically in society past, that whenever a society or a nation or a culture embraces that sin, it is always the death knell of that society. It is always the last straw. It's always the straw that breaks the camel's back. It's always a bridge too far. It's always crossing the wrong line. And I'm afraid that America has crossed the line. And I'm afraid Western culture has crossed the line. I'm afraid Western civilization has crossed the line. And I don't know if there's any turning back from this point. We might have an American flag and have a sense of a sentiment of America. But I'm beginning to wonder, is America already in the judgment of God and it's been written with an iron pen? It certainly could be. So are some sins worse than other sins? Not in the sense that some sins won't eternally separate you from God and some will. All will. But are some sins worse? Yes, absolutely. Some sins are worse. Turn to the book of Revelation, the last biblical example about how some sins are worse. But any sin separates you from God. So when you hear people say, well, there's no sin worse than the other sin, they're right in this sense. You're right. That little bitty lie, that little lie eternally separates you in hell forever from God just as much as the rapist or the murderer does. And let me say this first before we get any wrong ideas or anybody that might listen hereafter. Any of those sins can be forgiven in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Any of them can be. I'm glad that the rapist in prison could find redemption through the blood of the Lamb. I'm glad that the little liar that sits in the church pew, though his sins might not be as what we would say bad as the rapist, but he or she is just as much in need of saving grace as the rapist who's sitting maybe in solitary confinement in a state or federal penitentiary. Remember, there isn't anyone good enough that they do not need to be saved, nor is there anyone bad enough that they cannot be saved. But the only way to be saved is through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way except by Him. Therefore, that's why Jesus told Nicodemus, who was a what we would say a righteous, good man, probably the best neighbor you would ever have, never probably told a lie that he could remember. He kept the law the best he could. Even Jesus said of him, Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born again. Are some sins worse than other sins? Not in the sense that some sins will not separate you from God and some will. But are some sins worse? We'll find, I think, the answer once again in Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 12. Here we find the books are open. And death and hell and the sea and the ocean and the grave have given up the dead which were in them. This is after the resurrection of the wicked. And don't forget, everybody thinks the resurrection, the bodily resurrection, is just for believers. But the wicked will also be resurrected. And they will stand before a holy God and they'll meet Him at the great white throne of judgment. And here we see this terrible scene of sinners who've been resurrected bodily to meet God in judgment. And in Revelation chapter 20, verse number 12, John said, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God." That means the worst of the worst and the best of the best sinners. "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books," notice this, "according to their works." And so, no matter the sin, if they had not come to saving faith in Christ, they stand before God in judgment. But this text absolutely teaches that the degree of their sins, no matter how big or small, will be accounted for. There'll be judgment pronounced. All will be eternally separated from God, but it is clear that the books will be open and they'll be judged at the end of verse 12 according to their works. Remember, some with much stripes and some with less stripes. And absolutely it suggests that it's my conviction that the pedophilic rapist will be judged according to his works. Or the indigenous tribe in the Amazon rainforest will be judged according to their works. And absolutely all sin eternally separates both examples from God. But the pedophilic, blaspheming, atheistic rapist will be judged according to his works. I sure wouldn't want to be in either position. But I sure wouldn't want to be in the position of the atheistic, pedophilic, raping murderer. I sure wouldn't want to be in his position. I wouldn't want to stand before God in that position. I sure would rather stand before God as the indigenous tribe from the Amazon rainforest who'll be judged according to their knowledge of Creator God. But all who reject the gospel will meet God in judgment. So are some sins worse than other sins? No. No, in the sense that any sin, big or small, eternally separates the sinner from God. But are some sins worse than other sins? Yes. Yes, absolutely. Some sins are worse than other sins. Remember, the Lord told Pilate, "He that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." Remember, "He that soweth discord among the brethren," for example. Remember in Revelation 20, verse 12, "According to their works, they'll be judged." But the point of all this is, and it should always lead back to the gospel, anyone here, anyone listening from home, anyone that will listen later on, please repent and believe the good news if you don't have a relationship with God. Because no matter the degrees of your sin, hell is hell and judgment is real. And my, to meet God in judgment. Remember, any broken link separates a sinner from a holy and eternal just God. And why would they be eternally punished? Because God is eternally offended because of their sin. And only the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ can save the sinner from their sins. That is the only way. Some would even suggest, and I'm closing, Well, I can't believe that God is so mean that He'd cast anyone into hell. God's not mean to cast anyone to hell. It's merely the fact that the sinner wanted a life without God, and God gives them what they want. You want a life without me? Fine, you get a life without me. You want to enter into eternity without a relationship with me? Yes, then fine, that's what you get. Absolutely, you get what you want. You don't want an eternal relationship with me? No, I don't. Well then, you'll be judged according to your works. Amen? Our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we love You and praise You and thank You. And Lord, I pray that if anyone's listening and they've not received salvation through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that they would repent of their unbelief. They would hurry and run to You, Jesus. And Lord, they'd receive You by faith. They'd cry out to You. They would come to You repentant, believing. And they would come in faith and trust You. They'd see the danger that they're in. They are in immediate danger. It's an emergency. There has to be some urgency in their heart. They are in trouble. They are absolutely in trouble. And Lord, they need to be saved. And I pray, God, I ask You, I plead, Lord, with You on their behalf, that they, Lord, would come to You trembling but believing. And they would say, Christ is my only hope and Christ will be my Savior. Lord, I pray for this. Lord, I pray, God, that You'd save sinners before it's everlastingly too late. They must be born again to escape judgment. Lord, teach us this truth. Any sin separates us from You. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of those sin is death. And we sin because we're totally corrupted. But Lord, also remind us that absolutely, Lord, we have some sins that are worse than other sins. Lord, our logic teaches us that. The laws of our society teach us that. Lord God, I pray that we won't heap more condemnation on ourselves and excuse our sins by saying, I'm not as bad as some sinners. Lord, remind us the danger of trifling with sin. Can anybody bring fire into their bosom and not be burned? Lord Jesus, help us to have wisdom and to come to You to cleanse us from all sin. We love You, Lord. In Your name, Jesus, we ask these things. Amen. Amen.